Hey, it's just great to see everybody in church today, and God bless you. And I'm excited about today. I've been praying over our services, as you would expect. I'm the pastor, amen. But I really felt just a greater intensity to pray for breakthrough. We always need breakthrough, don't we? You know, we go through seasons in our lives. But one of the things I just want to draw your attention to is that God's a miracle-working God. And I came across this passage in Mark 16:20, and a lot of you know this really well. It says at the end of the book of Mark, it says, "And the disciples," here it is, it says, "And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs." See that last bit there? It says, "Confirming what they said by many miraculous signs." And you know, God still does miraculous signs. He really does. God's not dead, He is alive. And somehow, you know, as you go through life, you get caught up with the mundane of life and you just forget how powerful God is. And so this is what we're going to do today. I've got a very brief message thereabouts, amen. And no, unless if I get carried away. But in all seriousness, where we're going to go is we're going to go for that miracle moment today. See, sometimes what can happen as you journey through life, even as a Christian, you can become a little bit cynical. You can become a little bit jaded because, you know, you get problems come and, well, you know, life is life, isn't it? But sometimes, you know, we need to stir ourselves up and just remind ourselves of about the great God that we serve. And, you know, I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to talk about Jesus, as you'll see this morning. And because we're talking about Jesus, because this is a word-based message today, then we can believe for miraculous signs. Now, miraculous sign is a miracle. God does miracles. And a lot of times we tolerate things in our lives, even as Christians, but God wants to set us free. We're still born again, God loves us and all of that, but there's power in the name of Jesus. And so we're headed for a miracle moment. So when this message is finished, I'm going to invite people who want prayer, those who are hungry, just come forward and we'll pray. And I'm expecting for miracles to take place today. And the miracles can be all sorts, physical miracles, but also I just want us to just remember too that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't talk so much about that these days. We still believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We still believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you're dry today, we want to lay hands upon you. Maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never spoken in tongues before. Well, why not today? Why not today? And so that's where we're headed. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord. Nobody's here today by accident. You know, we're here because, Lord, you've brought us here and people are watching online today because you want them to watch online. And so, Lord, we just pray, Lord, as we just talk about Jesus, we just pray, Father, that faith will arise in our hearts in this place today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, and just before I begin this message, I particularly want to say thank you to anybody who's new here today. You know, here at Real Life Church, we just feel so honored when new people come to our church. We really do, because, you know, it takes a bit of effort to come here. And so we just want you to know that we really appreciate it. And we just want to encourage you, if you don't attend another church, come back again. Amen. And we'd love to see you again. So God bless you. Today we're going to begin by reading a passage of Scripture from John chapter 19. And this chapter concerns the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because it's about the crucifixion of Jesus, it's kind of a little bit confronting, but we're going to read a portion of it. And I'm actually reading from the King James Version today. Who still reads from the King James Version? I tend to read from modern versions, but just letting you know, there are some passages in the Bible that the King James translates better than other versions of the Bible. Some passages. And anyway, just saying that. So it's John chapter 19, and we've got it on the screen. And it says, "Then Pilate," Pontius Pilate that is, "then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And then they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again," that's to the crowd outside, "and said to them, 'Behold, I bring Jesus forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." He's done nothing wrong. "Then Jesus came forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man. Behold the man.' And when the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him. Crucify him. So we've just read Pontius Pilate said, behold the man. Look at the man. He's just a man. And when the people, the crowd, saw the man, they shouted, crucify him. Crucify him. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But last week, if anybody can remember what Pastor Bethwyn spoke about, could you shout it out? Well done. Go to the top of the class. We had an excellent message last week called Spectacular Mistakes from Pastor Bethwyn. And it was a great message of encouragement. To me, certainly. I'm sure everybody else was encouraged. That reminded us that God rescues us, doesn't he, from the stupid and dumb things that we do. Who's sitting next to somebody who's done stupid things? Yeah, amen, amen, yeah. And her message resonated with you, resonated with me, resonated with us, because we've all made spectacular mistakes, haven't we? And we've all benefited from God's grace at work in our lives. And, you know, she spoke that message last week, and as she was speaking, I just thought, I love that word, spectacular. You know, there's words in the English language that you just like to say. Here's another one, tranquility. Tranquility. Spectacular. And I like the sound. And I also love its meaning. It means remarkable, huge, great, enormous, amazing, fantastic, breathtaking, dazzling, extravagant, awesome, spectacular. And so today's message is called Spectacular Savior. Amen. Last week, we had spectacular mistakes. This week, we've got the spectacular Savior. Amen. So we're in the middle of a spectacular series. Praise God. And as I've said already, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ is breathtakingly awesome. Jesus is spectacular, and that's a good place to say amen. Yet, even though we say Jesus is spectacular, in that confronting passage from John chapter 19, it's clear that Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, actually he had no idea who he was dealing with on that fateful day, did he? He had no idea. Pilate saw nothing particular spectacular about Jesus at all. Pilate thought that Jesus Christ was just another Jewish rabbi, there was quite a few in those days, from the outback area of Galilee, who had got himself into trouble with the politically powerful Pharisees. That's all Pilate thought was going on. And then when Pilate shouted out to the enemies of Jesus, behold the man, he revealed what he thought about Jesus. Because to Pilate, you see, Jesus is nothing more than just a man. After all, he was bleeding, he was hurt, just like all of the other men that he had scourged and beaten before. Jesus was the same. And the enemies of Jesus, they also saw him just as a man, because they shouted out, crucify him, crucify him. And men died through crucifixion, and they wanted Jesus to die. They just didn't figure out he would rise again from the dead. Amen. And, you know, when you think about it, all of these guys, Pilate, you know, the Pharisees, they were part right. Pilate was part right because Jesus actually was a man. Absolutely. But that was all that the enemies of Jesus, that was all that the enemies of Jesus chose to know about Jesus Christ. They held on to a very tiny understanding of who Jesus really was, and they did not want to know any more about him. And still today, many people have all sorts of opinions about who Jesus really is. And I wonder what your opinion is about Jesus. Who do you think Jesus really is? For some people, they see Jesus as a misunderstood teacher of moral principles. Lots of people see him that way. Some people see Jesus as a champion of social justice. Some people see him as nothing more than just a religious guy. Others see Jesus like Robin Hood, where the legend exceeds the real man. Some people see Jesus just, well, he was a great prophet. Muslims see Jesus as just a great prophet. Some see him as an unfortunate martyr for a cause he believed in. And yet, probably for the majority of people, Jesus barely gets a fleeting thought except when they use his name as a swear word. Nonetheless, at the same time, there are millions of people all around the world who recognize that Jesus is the one that God sent to save people from their sins and be given eternal life. And thank God that we here at Real Life Church are part of those millions of people who believe that. Amen. We understand that there is salvation in no one else. Boy, that's an important line in the Bible. Isn't that important? There is salvation in no one else. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Can somebody else shout out amen?
Amen.
Now listen really carefully, everybody, because it's my observation. My observation, and I'm usually right, just ask Rochelle. And I reckon I'm right about this. It's my observation that in spite of our amens, many people who call themselves Christian still often fail to understand just how spectacular Jesus Christ really is. Many people who call themselves Christians have shrunken. They have a shrunken down version of Jesus. They have a small Jesus. And this shrunken down version of Jesus is very, very popular. Very popular these days. It's where some people have Jesus, but it's Jesus light. You all know what I'm saying. It's a drink you're having when you're not really having a drink. Amen. They follow a redesigned, cut-down version of the real Jesus. And this is actually really serious. Instead of allowing themselves to be made into the image of Jesus, they're making their Jesus into the image that they want him to be to suit them. You've got to be real careful when you talk about Jesus with people, because the Jesus you're talking about might be quite different to somebody else's Jesus. You know, Jesus light is a cheap version you can have without having to take up your cross and follow him. So we have a small, disengaged Jesus who hopefully, fingers crossed, will make good on that sinner's prayer and get you into heaven. The problem with Jesus light is that he is so small and bland, boring and weak that he doesn't actually have much to say about our day-to-day lives. And Jesus' light doesn't have much to say about living a vibrant life, and he doesn't have much to say about actually knowing Almighty God. And so, if you have a Jesus' light, it becomes then necessary to supplement Jesus' light with other voices and other opinions, because Jesus' light is just not enough for you. And this is going to sound really harsh, but here we go. Even Christian bookstores, without naming them, but I can think of one that begins with K. Even Christian bookstores reflect this dire situation. There are now so many Christian self-help books written by experts that they talk, you know, that talk about the various aspects of life, that they outnumber books that talk about Jesus and his word. Am I right? You better believe I'm right. And so, if you're following Jesus' light, you seriously need a heart upgrade to our spectacular Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus' light will never satisfy the deep longing of your soul. I'll say that again. Jesus' light will never satisfy the deep longing of your soul. You're settling for a mediocre relationship with the King of Kings when God has so much more for you. Amen. Amen. So let's talk about our spectacular Savior. Because I've found that when you talk about Jesus, that when you regularly focus upon the wonder of Jesus Christ, when you talk a lot about Jesus, things start to shift in the realm of the Spirit. Hope starts to stir in your heart whenever you talk a lot and focus upon the greatness and wonder of our spectacular Savior, Jesus Christ. Faith rises and an atmosphere of possibility grows when you lift up the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That's why we need to talk about Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ. Now, we know that the Bible is our primary source for exploring our spectacular Savior Jesus. And even in the Old Testament, we see lots and lots of illustrations and representations that when pieced together, present us with a collage of our spectacular Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to have a little sip of water. I would prefer a cup of coffee. But in the book of Genesis, Jesus is both the creator and the promised redeemer. In Exodus, Jesus is the Passover lamb who takes away the sins of the world. In Leviticus, Jesus is our high priest. In Numbers, Jesus is the cloud and the fire. In Deuteronomy, Jesus is a prophet like Moses. In Joshua, Jesus is the commander of the army of the Lord. And he still is. In Judges, Jesus is our deliverer from injustice and from our enemies. In Ruth, Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 Samuel, Jesus is a prophet, priest, and king. And in 2 Samuel, Jesus is a king of grace and love. In 1 Kings, Jesus is a ruler greater than Solomon. And in 2 Kings, Jesus is a prophet of signs and wonders. In 1 Chronicles, Jesus is a son of David that is coming to rule. In 2 Chronicles, Jesus is a king who reigns eternally. In Ezra, Jesus is the priest proclaiming freedom for the captives. In Nehemiah, Jesus is the one who restores what is broken down. In Esther, Jesus is the protector of his people. I'm talking about Jesus today. I'm telling you what the Bible says about Jesus today. In Job, Jesus is the mediator between God and man. In Psalms, Jesus is our song in the morning and our song in the night. In Proverbs, Jesus is our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, Jesus is our meaning for life. In the Song of Solomon, Jesus is a lover of our souls. In Isaiah, Jesus is a suffering servant. In Jeremiah, Jesus is a weeping Messiah. In Lamentations, Jesus is our faithful hope in times of disaster. And in Ezekiel, Jesus is the Son of Man. In Daniel, Jesus is the fourth man in the fire with us. Amen. I've got more to go. Are you ready? Let's have a few more hallelujahs. Here we go. Hosea. In Hosea, Jesus is a faithful husband even when we run away. In Joel, Jesus calls his people to repentance. In Amos, Jesus delivers justice to the oppressed. In Obadiah, the smallest book in the Old Testament, Jesus is a judge of those who do evil. In Jonah, Jesus is the forgiving God. In Micah, Jesus comes to restore God's kingdom. In Nahum, Jesus crushes his enemy. That's what he still does today. In Habakkuk, Jesus is our strength in times of disaster. In Zephaniah, Jesus is a mighty Savior. In Haggai, Jesus is the one we must worship. In Zechariah, Jesus is the Messiah pierced for us. In Malachi, Jesus is the Son of Righteousness who brings healing to our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Matthew, Jesus is the Messiah who is King. In Mark, Jesus is the Messiah who is a servant. In Luke, Jesus is the Messiah who is a deliverer and healer. In John, Jesus is the great I am. In Acts, Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. In Romans, Jesus is our right standing with God. In 1 Corinthians, Jesus is the power and wisdom and love of God. In 2 Corinthians, Jesus is the indescribable gift of God. In Galatians, Jesus is a curse breaker. In Ephesians, Jesus is the head of the church. In Philippians, Jesus is the joy of our life. In Colossians, Jesus Christ is the visible God, the visible image of the invisible God. In 1 Thessalonians, Jesus is our coming King. In 2 Thessalonians, Jesus is our eternal comfort. In 1 Timothy, Jesus is the Savior of the worst of sinners. In 2 Timothy, Jesus is a rewarder of those who eagerly look forward to His appearing. In Titus, Jesus is a foundation of truth. In Philemon, Jesus is our mediator. In Hebrews, Jesus Christ is our high priest in the order of Melchizedek. In James, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. In 1 Peter, Jesus is the one who you give your cares and worries to. In 2 Peter, Jesus is the source of everything we need for living a godly life. In 1 John, Jesus is our victory in this fallen world. In 2 John, Jesus is God as man from heaven. In 3 John, Jesus is good to those who follow Him, and those who follow Him do good. In Jude, Jesus is the one who is able to keep you all from falling. Finally, in Revelations, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Amen. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the beginning and the end. Jesus is the rider on the white horse. His name is faithful and true. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is Jesus, our spectacular Savior. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Come on, let's shout some praise. Everybody, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise God! Hallelujah! Praise God! Amen. You may be seated. I haven't finished yet. You all getting excited, then, were you? Hallelujah! I'm nearly finished. In the Bible, we read of this man who had a son who was terribly afflicted by oppressive spirits. Terrible thing. And so he came to Jesus for help. This is what the man said to Jesus. The spirit often throws my son into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. If you can. See, this man was not sure if Jesus could help him. A lot of people today aren't sure if Jesus can help them. This man had a shrunken down image of Jesus. And maybe you've got a shrunken down image of Jesus. You've got to get rid of that shrunken down image of Jesus today. And this is what Jesus said to him. He said, what do you mean? What do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. Amen. I'm going to say it again, because something's sparking in somebody's heart right now. Anything is possible if a person believes. Anything is possible if a person believes. Jesus challenged the man's opinion about him. And the man responded, and it's just beautiful. He said, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. It's okay to be honest and pray that prayer. Absolutely. That was enough for Jesus. And Jesus healed the man's son. To the sick, Jesus is the healer. To the broken, Jesus is the restorer. To the lost, Jesus is the great shepherd. To the poor, Jesus is their provision. To the sinner, Jesus is their forgiveness. To the afflicted, Jesus is their victory. And to the devoted follower, Jesus is their Lord. All things are possible if a person believes. Finally, we read in the Bible about the death of a great king named Uzziah. Maybe you've never heard of him before, and that's okay. But his name was Uzziah. He was a great king. He was a good king. And he ruled the nation of Judah for many, many years. But he died. And the nation was now in distress about the future. Who would take over? Would we become vulnerable again? The king had died. The nation was in mourning. And there was a young prophet there. His name was Isaiah. He ended up writing one of the books of the Bible. And young Isaiah, the prophet, he was just so brokenhearted. This man had been such a great role model for a young man like him. He was brokenhearted and concerned about the future, so he went to pray about it. And this is what Isaiah said. He said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and exalted and seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple." Wow. You know, in the ancient world, certainly in the Middle East, the train of the robe of the king indicated his power and his authority. An insignificant king, just maybe one small city, he would have a very short train. A more important king, a king who had several cities, he would have a bit of a longer train. An emperor would have a very long train. But the train of God's robe is so long that in Isaiah's vision, the train of his robe filled the dwelling place of God. That's spectacular. Isaiah saw the true king, and we need to see this true king as well today. He glimpsed the pre-incarnate Jesus, the visible image of the invisible God, and he was high and exalted and seated on his throne. And he has all authority and he has all power. Isaiah's vision of Jesus was spectacular, and all was well. King Uzziah died, but the real king was still seated on the throne. All is well. You got stuff going on in your life? Hey, the king is still seated upon the throne. All is well. Got problems at home? The king is still seated on his throne. And all is well. In conclusion, remember Pontius Pilate? He pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the man." While Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord and his train fills the temple." Who is Jesus Christ to you? I say, Jesus is spectacular. What do you say?